Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Trump's wasting no time choosing top posts in his upcoming administration, selecting former ICE head Tom Homan for border czar. Homan tells Fox,
"This is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation has seen since 9/11. We have to fix it."
New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik nominated for UN ambassador. Drought conditions blamed for a wildfire along the New York-New Jersey border that's killed one Parks employee. Vinny Lanza lives in West Milford, New Jersey.
The whole neighborhood is under siege, put it that way.
In Paris, a ceremony at the Arc de Triomphe this Armistice Day. Tom Manning rode his motorcycle in a Veterans Day parade in Philadelphia.
Representing the guys who served not only from our time on, but, my father was in the Army. My wife's father was in the Army. Even prior to that, my grandfather was in the Army in World War I.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's Veterans Day, and there will be ceremonies in Wisconsin Rapids today to honor veterans. VFW Post Commander Sean Plant said there are two events during the morning today.
We're having the Southwood County Allied Veterans Council is doing their annual Veterans Day ceremony. It's 11 o'clock at Veterans Park on the east side of the river in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mayor Matt Zacher will be the guest speaker at that event. At 1 p.m. today, there will be another event at Assumption High School.
The Wood County Legacy Society is doing their Legacy Stone dedication ceremony at Assumption High School, again at 1 o'clock.
Veterans Day is observed on November 11th in the U.S. and several other countries. It is a day to thank and honor all veterans who serve honorably in the military. Veterans Day is a day to not only honor veterans, but also acknowledge the difficulties they face after service. Here's Lisa Hale.
PTSD, suicide, mental health, all of these are issues facing the veteran population this Veterans Day. Tim Cody with the Fox Valley Veterans Council in Appleton said homelessness is also a primary concern.
We find them, hopefully, before they're homeless, as our real goal, is to try to keep them in their place for 2 to 3 months so that they can straighten their life out, get a direction to go, and keep them where they are.
Cody said statistically in Wisconsin, there are more homeless veterans than regular citizens.
The Mid-State Technical College campus in Stevens Point now has a new name. The ribbon cutting took place last Thursday for the Stevens Point downtown campus. This event also kicks off the beginning of a year-long celebration of the 10th anniversary of the move to downtown. The new name helps differentiate the downtown campus from the new Ameta Center campus location. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody. We got, of course, Melissa K. with us as well.
Good morning.
Our co-host, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Everybody's here with us, and we're going to have some fun. We'll get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We got some ways to unwind ahead of a stressful week. Okay. We've got those things lined up for you. Got some new trends to talk about as well. But it is a 9 o'clock hour on a Monday. You know what that means.
Tell me something good.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, November 11th. Our topic this week was suggested to me by one of our own here at the station, Laura. She reminded me that November is Native American Heritage Month.
NationalDayCalendar.com shares, Native American Heritage Month during November celebrates the diverse and rich culture, history, and traditions of Native people. The observance is also a time to educate anyone and everyone about the different tribes and raise awareness about the struggles Native peoples faced as well as in the present.
And this is important every day, not just one month of the year.
It's good to have a reminder, of course, for all this stuff, but
quick note, and I don't know, maybe we need to get this into the intro or something like that. Beth Habhacker joining us, everybody. Somebody jumping on right now, like, I don't know that.
Who is this?
You did hear the voice and have my name earlier today.
Yeah, so. That's true.
You're so right about that, Beth. This is important every day. And certainly, I would hope not just to Native Americans, but to all of us. While it is specifically their culture, certainly, given where we live, where we all have lived and where we are raised and raise our families and everything, this is embedded in our culture as well.
Well, and there's a reason they're called indigenous, because they were here before anybody came from Europe.
Right.
So this is their land. And to be able to appreciate how they treated the land and the traditions that they had before we even got here is important.
Think about all the place names, especially in Wisconsin, that are named after Native words and language and everything. I mean, it's really remarkable.
We've mentioned this before. If there's one thing we know about Wisconsinites, you're proud of being from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is something you should be taking pride
in,
too. Absolutely. And to that point, you should also be helping preserve this history and keep it around. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that, and encourage people to look into how to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Native American Heritage Month also provides us the opportunity to look at Native American cuisine. Mm-hmm. So now I do not have any indigenous ancestry. I will
really,
yeah, oh, shocking. I know.
I'm sorry. I was trying to find a joke. I'm sorry.
So I tried to connect with our area tribes because I want to make sure that this is authentic and true. But I wasn't able to get connected with them in time for this episode. I'm hoping that maybe sometime in the future I'll be able to do that and bring something like that.
Part two.
Hopefully. What I was able to do is do some research about Native cuisine from reliable sources.
What you found is so important and informative. Tell us a bit more about the connection of Native life and food.
Well, I started with the Smithsonian Institute's National Museum of the American Indian website. It's called americanindian.si.edu, and it shared, indigenous ways of life and traditions are highly connected to the environment and the foods it provides. Long before their contact with Europeans, indigenous peoples populated the Americas and were successful stewards and managers of the land. Indigenous Andeans, for example, developed more than 1,000 different species of potato, each of which thrived in its own distinct growing conditions. Along with potatoes, many other foods, including corn, beans, squash, pumpkins, peppers, tomatoes, yams, peanuts, wild rice, chocolate, pineapples, avocados, papayas, pecans, strawberries, cranberries, and blueberries, just to name a few, are indigenous to the Americas. More than half of the crops grown worldwide today were first cultivated successfully and scientifically in the Americas by indigenous people.
It's truly remarkable, the scope of where the indigenous plants and the flora here in the Western Hemisphere has gone worldwide. I mean, it's absolutely, you can find peanuts in Asia, you know, in a lot of recipes in Asia call for peanuts, or just go anywhere and you can see all of the abundance of different species and stuff in the what's now called the Americas, went globally.
So many of these things that we travel our country and we see common plants in different areas, or, oh, I have that back home, or something like that. Well, a lot of those weren't originally that way. But Native Americans traveling would plant these seeds or would share these seeds with other tribes or these things. And by the time we come around, it's just common. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all over the place and everything. But so much of that, even just flowers or some of those things, let alone the many things that Beth mentioned there.
Well, the foods that we eat today today we take for granted, and we don't think about that. You know, that much of the Halloween candy that you just got, all of those chocolate things, would not be here if it weren't for Indigenous people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So
when coming up with the thousand some ideas, you got to think that last 100 was kind of just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do now? What
just
can we
do? Reinventing, you know, kind of redoing.
No, Joe, we did that one already. Let's try something else.
We got to get to 1,000.
You know, always got to get creative, right?
That's right.
I also found this wonderful article on the Nature Conservancy website, nature.org, written by Kevin Borzik.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. An Indigenous freelance writer and the managing editor of IndiansWithAZ.com, a site devoted to covering Native American news. He writes, since members of the Ojibwe first arrived in the 1600s in now what is Minnesota, pursuing a vision that drove them to find a place where food grows on water, they have relied on the wild rice they found. Wild rice, called manumin, or good berry in Ojibwe, is a highly nutritious grain gathered from lakes and waterways in the late summer and fall.
Wild rice is a familiar food, if you've listened to me before, from where I grew up, and you could find it actually on many restaurant menus. It's different from the white rice we see used in so much cooking. The National Wildlife Federation states, wild rice is an annual plant that cross-pollinates, meaning the male and female flowers are separate and pollen must be transferred from one to the other. The female flowers on a cluster usually emerge before the males and are then pollinated by the male flowers from other clusters. And three species of wild rice grow in the United States. Zizania aquatic, Zizania plustaris, and Zizania texana. These aquatic plants grow in the soft substrate of shallow water, particularly in slow-moving streams. The grain of the rice provides food for migratory waterfowl and a number of other birds and animals. Wild rice plants can grow to be 10 feet tall. According to the website, nwf.org, about 99% of cultivated wild rice grown in the United States comes from Minnesota and that big state out west. California. I was getting their fingers in that stuff. Anyway.
Some of that 1% is grown here in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the DNR website shares, quote, wild rice harvesting is open to all Wisconsin residents and provides the opportunity to forage a highly nutritious and natural food source that is unique to the upper Midwest. Wild rice maturities typically ranges from late August through mid-September across the state and varies by water body and rice bed.
That's right. And if you haven't picked up on it, we're really focusing in on the wild rice crop and learning a little bit more about that. And the Wisconsin DNR goes on to say, because wild rice ripens at a gradual, uneven rate, rice can be harvested repeatedly during the season, which may extend 2 to 3 weeks on a particular lake. Different waters of bodies typically ripen at slightly different times, so the harvest season may last 4 to 5 weeks overall. It is weather dependent. Mm-hmm. Ripening is also affected by sediment type, water depth, and other factors. An acre of good rice beds can yield over 500 pounds of seed.
Wow.
But hand harvesting will typically capture about 10 to 15% of this amount. Seeds on a single stalk reach maturity over a 10 to 14 day period, with the highest seeds maturing first.
Different harvests are used for different purposes. In his article, Kevin Borzik.
Kevin shares, would be an interesting first name.
Much of the rice harvested by the Ojibwa is for individual families' use, but the harvest also represents an important source of cash for many tribe members.
It's fascinating how they go from harvesting, according to the Nature Conservancy, the Ojibwe people have harvest the rice in pairs. Mm-hmm. One person is the poler, responsible for pushing the boat through the water. The other is the knocker, charged with using two wooden sticks to knock mature rice into the boat. Any rice that falls into the water is left to lodge in the lake bottom mud and grow into next year's rice stands, helping the current generation of Ojibwe ensure that they don't over-harvest the rice stands their ancestors traversed. Once the rice is harvested, it is then parched, that is, roasted over a fire, and stepped on or danced on to loosen the hulls surrounding the grain. Finally, birch bark trays are used to toss the rice into the air to separate the hulls from the edible grains.
Indigenous peoples aren't the only ones harvesting, though, and unfortunately, that's both a good and a bad thing.
Exactly, Seth. The Nature Conservancy shares, the demand for wild rice has been steadily growing since the late 1950s, when entrepreneurs from outside the Ojibwe tribes began marketing it as a gourmet commodity. The resulting surge in demand led to over-harvesting of the crop, as non-native ricers began competing with native harvesters. Eventually, farmers began cultivating it on a larger scale in paddies. Demand has skyrocketed in recent years as consumers, ever more health conscious, have become aware of the high nutritional quality of wild rice.
Competition isn't the only threat. According to the Wisconsin DNR, quote, the decline in wild rice production has been a notable trend over recent decades. Scientists cite the impacts of climate change as a widespread stressor on the wild rice population. Additional human-induced and natural stressors may be compounding problems at a local level.
But efforts are being made to preserve the crop and traditions around it. The Nature Conservancy shares, today, the Ojibwa people are working to protect wild rice, developing plans to restore lost wild rice stands, and establishing tribal nonprofits charged with buying and selling wild rice. And some Ojibwe have begun hosting camps to teach ricing and processing to younger generations. Mm-hmm.
Jason Fleener, DNR wetland habitat specialist, says the DNR takes these issues seriously and, in cooperation with tribal nations and other partners, is working on research initiatives to better understand threats to wild rice and develop better strategies for restoring Wisconsin's wild rice populations.
DNR goes on to share, one such initiative is an active partnership between the DNR, the Menominee, Lake Court Aurelius, and the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission, funded through an America the Beautiful Change grant to develop the implement an effective management plan for Wisconsin wild rice resources.
The DNR also reminds Wisconsin residents that one of the main threats to wild rice production is improper watercraft use through the growing season. Wave activity caused by boats and boating directly through wild rice beds often harm production in wild rice beds. The DNR encourages all watercraft users to educate themselves on how to identify wild rice and modify their boating activities to reduce damage to this treasured Wisconsin resource.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it is harvested, there are many ways that wild rice can be used, which is why its popularity has skyrocketed. Some of the more common are in soups. If you've ever had wild rice soup, you know it's a creamy, delicious goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
And as a filler in burgers and meatloaf. Mm-hmm. I have actually found a recipe I'm anxious to try, which is for wild rice pilaf that includes pecans and cranberries.
Oh, yum.
I will probably exclude the pecans because that could kill one of my children. So I kind of want to keep him alive.
Seems good.
So,
good.
But good I plan. Think adding the cranberries sounded like that little bit of tartness with the wild rice sounded like it would be delicious. I did share a link for it in our latest newsletter, which you can sign up for at our website, WFHR.com.
Cranberries with wild rice is awesome. They go together so well. And then I can, you know, I grew up in, of course, northern Minnesota, and that's where a lot of the rice paddies are. I do know people who have gone ricing, as it's called. Exactly the way
it's really called ricing.
It's called ricing. Awesome. Yes,
that's
it is.
Awesome. That's cool.
And they would, you know, there's only one way you can harvest wild rice. You have to do it by hand.
Right.
You have, like, and they did it exactly the way you described, the polar and the knocker, knocking it off as you go along. When you get really good, if you've ever seen videos, it's really cool because you're like, as they go down the paddy kind of thing. But we had it all the time, you know, all over the place. You could buy basically anywhere. So my mom had a couple of recipes that she used. There was a wild rice hot dish that we had all the time with some chicken in there and some other vegetables and cream of mushroom soup, James. Was one of my favorites, favorite hot dishes growing up.
Yeah.
There were places in small towns around. We had this really cool bratwurst shop, basically, and he would make brats with just about anything in them, including one of my favorites was his wild rice brat, which is just incorporated into the brat. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, those were so good. Those were so delicious. So I am very partial to wild rice, basically because I grew up with it and we put it in so many things. So
yeah, very cool.
Or just as a side, like you would rice.
Right.
Just have it with whatever you're eating. Yep.
Yeah, good stuff.
And it's so native to our area, so it's a good resource to have. And it's a wonder way, especially if the Ojibwe are still selling it as a way of means to have an income.
Exactly.
Try to find it through a Native American tribe if you can. Because that way you're still getting what you want and you're supporting them as well.
100%.
Well, thank you for joining us today for The Kitchen's Open. If you have a suggestion about a topic for The Kitchen's Open, please reach out to me at beth.habhager@civicmedia.us or info@whr.com. If you'd like to become a sponsor for our segment, contact Pam at our front desk. We're still looking for someone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We would love to feature your business during the segment. Consider sponsoring this great segment. For more information, please call 715-424-1300.
That number again is line...
715.
Thank you. 715-424-1300. 715-424-1300 will put you in touch with Pam, who will put you in touch with Ashley and get you on the team. If you hear, talk to any, go ahead and if you don't want to talk to us, talk to the people that advertise with us.
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead and ask anybody out there that advertise with us, and you will hear of a good story. Mm-hmm. We want you to be a part of this team, everybody. Mm-hmm. Nice job, Beth.
And yes. With that, we will close the kitchen.
Yeah. All right. Excellent.
Great episode. Great episode.
Very close to my heart.
That's a good one. We appreciate you, Beth, and we look forward to hanging out again next Monday.
Thank you. Looking forward to being back.
Yeah. We'll be back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Tell me something good.
To everyone who is a cheese lover like us, Culver's is the place for you.
I'm Culver's team member Sephora, and I get to celebrate my love of cheese with our guests every day. Whether it's our world-class cheddar, Swiss, or American melted on a butter burger, or the gooey golden goodness of our cheese curds, at Culver's, we treat you to the best real Wisconsin cheese. Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a taste of what we do best.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
The best part about the holidays are the cards.
Oh, joy. Another person sent me the same card. Oh, hey, honey, look. It's from your mom and dad. Isn't this a picture from our honeymoon 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it is. Look how they made it a Christmas card.
Maybe we could do that. I'm tired of having the same ones every year. And these are funny.
I'll call Phil and the team at Quality Plus Printing and have them make us something great. We can even get matching ugly sweaters.
I'll skip the sweaters. Can we use my giant bass pick?
Quality Plus Printing for all your holiday needs.
You can support your natural defenses, increase wellness, and propel your health to the next level in 100 days. If everyday life is a struggle, you have concerns on viral activity, or need a general shift to greater wellness, visit Family Natural Foods today. All natural products can increase immunity, bolster your first lines of defense, and help you thrive in today's fast-paced world. Enzyme Defense for Immune Health and Mucus Stop for Allergies and Congestion are on sale. Stop in today. See what Family Natural Foods can do for you. West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're all are having a great one out there. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We're here to get into a little bit of music, and as we have some Beatles play us in, I believe the Beatles had a couple of Grammys in their career.
Right.
I have to wiki that one. I'm pretty sure won some.
It's, you know, they're usually not like the first thing people talk about, though. Mm-hmm. About the Beatles, how many Grammys they got.
Well, and you know, there's a great, I didn't think about that, but there's a great point right there about the Grammys. We're going to talk about them right now as Grammy nominations were just announced. Mm-hmm. With that, no, when you think of your favorite artist or the most legendary artist or the mm-hmm. greatest artist or any of these things, how long does it take you in your brain's resume and your mind palace before you get to, oh, and they won so many Grammys right. or something like that?
Yeah.
I always find the list interesting of people who haven't won a Grammy.
Those are always, we do those occasionally, and it's always like, what? How could they have not won a Grammy?
The next time we have an opening and director's cut for you and I, I'd like to dive into that.
That'd be a good one.
I've got that topic put aside for us over there. But for now, the people who have gotten nominated.
Okay.
And Beyonce has officially ascended to her throne as Queen Bee of the Grammys.
Makes sense.
Queen Bee is the queen of the Grammys now. Nominations were announced Friday, and she got 11, making her the most nominated artist of all time with 99 total.
Oh, jeez. Whoa. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
In comparison, her husband Jay-Z is second with 89.
Okay, oh, he's 10 good. Behind, man. What's going on, Jay-Z? Yeah.
One of the voices we just heard, Sir Paul McCartney, with 84.
Oh, wow.
And the greatest producer of all time, Quincy Jones, fourth with 80.
Yeah, Yeah, wow. That makes sense.
So it should be noted, too, when we were kids growing up, this was basically Quincy Jones's category. Yes. Like, he had this by far and away. It's a note and a credit to Beyonce and Jay-Z and what they have done, and actually a short amount of time considering how long their careers have lasted compared to Quincy Jones or Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
And it's also a credit to Sir Paul McCartney, who has continued to gain Grammy nominations and wins, even as a solo artist.
Yep, 100%.
And the Beatles won 7, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. Yeah. Nicely done. Beyonce also has the most wins of all time with 32. Oh, that meant you couldn't have done that at a better time, Melissa, because like you think about that, like the Beatles and Beyonce, I don't think a lot of people, and this is nothing against Beyonce,
right.
It's just most people will probably tell you, well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Beatles have many more. Nope.
No, they do not. No.
Not even close. So she's got 32 all time. A Hungarian-British conductor named Sir George Solti is second,
yep,
with 31. Mm-hmm. He won't be catching up anytime soon. He passed away in 97.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Quincy Jones, of course, third on the list with 28 wins of all time. Again, nice. A category he once owned.
How do you display 28 Grammys? I mean, the good thing is that they're not very big trophies. They're kind of small, so you can like pile up on a shelf, yeah, or something like that. They don't weigh 500 pounds like the Oscar does, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I imagine they have multi-million dollar homes, so they probably sure just they have a room dedicated to
all the Grammys.
The, yep, Grammy Awards.
I like the idea of this. I like the idea of this. I love the idea of Quincy Jones. Like, he's got a special place where it like he gets a couple more nominations or wins and or nominations. Yep. Like, oh, I don't want to win. I got no room.
My shelf is about ready to collapse. You know, the weight of the Grammys is going to make it go down.
Beyonce's Cowboy Carter album is all over the country categories. It's also up for Album of the Year, and Song for Texas Hold'em is nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
Cool.
Billie Eilish, Charlie XCX, Post Malone, and Kendrick Lamar follow Beyonce with 7 nominations each. Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, and Chaperone got 6.
Wow.
Taylor, by the way, is the first artist to earn 7 nominations for the Album of the Year, thanks to the Tortured Poets Department. She's already won the category 4 times, which is also a record.
Wow.
Billie Eilish is also up for the top prize, making her the first artist to have her first 3 albums compete for it.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Competing against herself.
Yeah, impressive. Impressive. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just want one more time. She is the first artist to have her first 3 albums compete for best album of the year. Your first 3 albums, boom, 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 all 3 of them get nominated for album of the year. Beyonce, the Beatles, none of these other
people. No one ever did that before.
That was Billie Eilish?
Yeah. That was Billie Eilish, yeah. Wow.
That's really impressive.
I am impressed. She is an impressive artist, I gotta say.
She really is. Yeah. I look forward to seeing what she does throughout her career, mm-hmm, because I really enjoy her voice. I look forward to hearing how that voice ages.
Yes. I know what you mean by that,
Something like that. So that's going to be interesting. The other album of the year nominees are New Blue Sun by Andre 3000, Jacob Collier, Sabrina Carpenter, and Chaperone, all nominated with their albums.
Okay.
And 100-year-old Jimmy Carter has become the oldest Grammy nominee ever, with a nod to his spoken word album, Last Sundays in Plains, a sentinel celebration.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Good job, Jimmy.
That's pretty cool. That is really, really cool.
Yep.
The oldest winner currently is blues legend Pine Top Perkins, who won a Grammy at 97.
All right. That's still pretty cool, though.
Grammys air February 2nd on CBS.
Yes. Right.
And I kind of went over all the big categories, right, and the big stuff from these and everything. A lot of other big names on this list. Shaboozy. Let me see. Post Malone was nominated quite a bit on here as well. But one of the things that I think that stands out is look at the new artist category. Benson Boone, Sabrina Carpenter, Adoche, Ray, Chaperone, Shaboozy, Teddy Swims. I love the idea of somebody hearing me say these names. Like, what is he talking about?
What is he talking about?
What did he just say?
is he having a stroke?
Because I'm not far from that. I knew about 4 of those names.
Yeah, most of those I'm not aware of.
And almost all of them have at least some country ties or some country influence, or are doing just straight up country music.
Mm-hmm.
That the
I would say the blending of the genres has kind of hit critical mass at this point, because it's a big old mix right now.
It's pretty interesting, and pretty pretty interesting too to see so many Pearl Jam's on this list, Green Day, the Black Crowes, the Rolling Stones. I'm saying in different categories, mm-hmm. of course, but there for every one of these new names, I'm seeing plenty of names
established that bands. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, they were being nominated for these things when we were kids.
Exactly.
And I do want to save the Grammys some time. The best rap performance and best rap song, basically any rap category, just give it to Kendrick Lamar. Just give it to Kendrick Lamar. And when you do so, make sure you get a camera on Drake's face. I want that.
Drake even going? Bad.
No way. I will bet you money. I will bet anybody anything that Drake will not show up at the Grammys.
No.
No way. Although if I was a Grammy coordinator, I would have him as a presenter.
Like right up at, right there. Yeah.
I want him as a presenter. I want him to have to be there. Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to wrap up the segment here, talking real quick about some local theater. You've heard us tease this for a while. We are here. It is the week of Hate Mail.
Hate Mail is here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, everybody. Forgive me. For a second, I just want to take a step back and congratulate Mike Egrin and Ken Pilo on a great performance of Us, Them.
It was funny. I just, by accident, ran into Mike yesterday. And I asked him how it went. He said it went really good. I mean, it's Mike Egrin. So he was like, it's just a stage reading. Yeah, I'm Mike's like, come on, Mike. Yeah, still, yeah. It's cool, you know?
Congrats to them.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate everybody that went to go see that show and take that one in. You saw a great show. You mm-hmm. got to see and you got to see something you may never see again.
Yeah.
And that's live theater,
which
baby.
Is really cool.
Yeah,
love it.
There are no reruns in theater.
No.
Every show is a new one. Every mm-hmm. show is a fun and unique. And we have got a very fun and unique show lined up for you this week. We yep. actually had our second rehearsal yesterday.
Yeah, right. Group rehearsal, right. Yeah, yes, yeah, yes. Kind of thing. So that was, yesterday we're still getting stuff ready for this Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock. We are doing, like James said, we're doing Hate Mail. That's him and Beth and no one else. Mm. They're going to be doing the show. And I'm doing the lights because I thought it was kind of fun to do that. Mm-hmm. So, because I haven't done it before. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fabulous show. Everyone, come in. It's so funny. Oh my god, I was laughing yesterday. You guys, there were certain things you did just killed me, man. Oh, I love this show. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, sorry, going over my lines.
Yep, he is actually going over his lines.
We're looking forward to this one, yep. everybody. I do want to, productions will be this Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock shows yep. at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater, mm-hmm. A theater that I got to see Melissa Kay's one-woman show in.
Yes.
And I do want to take a second to thank Melissa because it was that show that kind of gave me the final push to want to do this.
Good.
Seth asked, and I said yes. Yeah. So I was going to do it. But in that 5 seconds, that I took to respond, one of my first thoughts was, well, seeing Melissa do this really inspired me. Really, really got me wanting to do something like this. I'd never really thought about doing these kind of things.
The best
before.
Theater does. It's inspiring.
I do appreciate that, Melissa, and it was an amazing show. You certainly set a bar.
Thanks.
Hate Mail is going to premiere this Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock shows at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater. That mm-hmm. is right over there at the Centralia Center.
Yep.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org.
Get them now.
Wrctheater.org.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a time out, check it with our news and sports and our partners. We'll come back and we're going to tell you how to relax, man.
Relax.
We're going to tell you we got some unwinding to do. Unwind after a stressful week. We're going to do that coming up, baby. It's coming up right here on the morning show. I don't know why I'm doing this, boys.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The West Grand Avenue Quick Trip may soon have their pumps open again. The entire gas pump area has been under construction with the installation of new gas pumps for both regular unleaded gasoline and diesel. The fencing may come down as soon as this week, and the pumps will be back up and running. We're in the middle of a mental health crisis among young people. Often, trauma can be linked to mental health struggles. New numbers show a majority of kids are experiencing trauma by the time they're 18. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That's according to new data from the CDC. Now, these events can include abuse, experiencing homelessness, and parental separation. Research shows that adverse childhood experiences, they abbreviate them as ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry. It can even produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist Joe Barjone says we see the same thing here in Wisconsin.
That increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases like diabetes and obesity. And childhood trauma is expensive. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators support kids who have had these experiences.
The third annual Caregiver Roadmap Resource Event takes place on Tuesday, November 12th at the ADRC in Stevens Point from 9 to 3:30. You'll need to register by calling 715-346-1401. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Jaylen Brown calls Giannis a child. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Boston Celtics 113-107. In the second quarter, Giannis Antetokounmpo went over to the Celtics' Jaylen Brown, extending his hand for a handshake, then pulled it away to run his fingers through his hair. After the game, Brown was asked in the Celtics' locker room about the fake handshake.
Giannis is a child. You know, I'm just focused on helping my team get a win.
Giannis says he was just having some fun.
It's a joke. You know, we're playing basketball. It's something that I do to my kids. Play around, you know, sometimes I'm like, give me a high five. Hope you're too slow. I just did it. It was fun. He took offense to it. What do you say?
He was asked about it after the game, and he said, Giannis is a child.
You know, if I'm called a child, yeah, so be it.
The Bucks are now 2-8. They host the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers rolled over Appalachian State 87-56 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers now 3-0 on the season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. The Huey Lewis threw me. I'm sorry. The Huey Lewis threw me. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one. We got great things lined up for you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. I'm going to wrap up our show with some good stories of the day involving our veterans, some wonderful quotes about Veterans Day, and plenty more. But right now, let's unwind, baby. Let's unwind. The election is done, but a lot of people still have a lot of stress, not only going from last week, but this week. Mm-hmm. So we got five ways to unwind after a stressful week.
All right.
I'm telling you this on a Monday, so that you can prep and prepare.
There you go.
And have things lined up for yourselves on Friday, Saturday, or whenever it is. I also hope that people can consider out there, and I wanted to take this opportunity to, guess what, everybody? Not everybody works a Monday through Friday work week.
Exactly.
And other people out there, in fact, a good 67 to 71% of our working force out there does not work a typical Monday through Friday work week. Think about those stats.
A large majority.
Overwhelming majority of our workforce out there does not work a Monday through Friday work week. So wherever your week starts and ends, this hopefully will help you.
There you go.
And if you got, well, I got like 4 days until my, like, okay, you can prep. You can prep for this. There's a reason I'm giving you this list on a Monday. So, because for most of us, a lot of us at least, Monday tends to be one of the more stressful days.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it can give you something to look forward to, maybe build for.
Yeah.
And there's another part of this that I want everybody to keep in mind with this one. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else. This takes time. Mm-hmm. It is not, okay, I'm going to unwind now. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, try
great
doing that.
Good luck with that one. It takes time. It takes work to do these things. It shouldn't take work to de-stress, but it does.
Interestingly enough, it sure does, yeah.
So unplug. Just signing off social media or turning off your phone for a few hours can help.
Mm.
And definitely don't check work emails.
Yes.
Write that one down. Just a personal note here.
Don't check working. Okay.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to music. Mm. Research shows that listening to music can help slow your heart rate and lower blood pressure.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be relaxing classical music, just something you like.
Mm-hmm.
I have plenty of friends of mine that will listen to very heavy rock before they do things. We had a surgeon as one of our students at Second City. And he would talk about listening to Metallica before he went out and did surgery.
Wow.
And this is one of the more renowned surgeons in Chicago. I don't know if I can say his name, so I'm not going to.
Right.
This was a guy. That's something that relaxed him. Something about, Forever I May Roam or something like that just made him relaxed.
Right. Well, and think about this. When's the last time you just sat down and listened to music? It wasn't background. Ugh. It wasn't driving in your car.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the great things about like physical music media, CD, or even better, an LP, because you can't flick it. You know, you can't like go to the next song, and it's not like a playlist on your Spotify or whatever. Just put the needle down and listen to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it does wonders.
That's it's a really solid point, actually. I feel like I don't get a chance to listen to music very often, so I'm constantly trying to cram it into my day where I can, just to be able to get some music in my system and everything. So I like the idea of taking time to just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Get outside. Take a walk or go for a bike ride this weekend or this week or whenever, again, you know, you have the time.
Outside is good.
Or even just drive around with the windows down so you can feel the wind on your face, and you can do that while you still can.
And you don't freeze your ears off, right?
Yeah.
Before the air makes your face freeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I any of the above, getting outside, I'd almost put that at number one.
Mm.
Do something creative. Write in a journal, draw a picture, take some photos, or decorate a room in your house for the holidays. Letting your mind get some creativity, creative energy out can be therapeutic and rejuvenating.
That totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how big the project is. When you finish something creative, a project like that, it feels good.
It does.
It's a good feeling to your mental health and to your well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me smile every time I walk through my hallway now.
Yeah, exactly.
This weekend, I finished a curtain that I wanted to hang up to cover my dressing room area in my hallway, and I hung pictures.
Right on.
And then, like you said, Melissa, then every time you see it, you get that feeling, you know, of that accomplishment, of that creative.
That.
Exactly.
Yes. Go me.
It's awesome.
My first apartment, I didn't put stuff up or anything. I think I had like one like movie poster up or something like that. It was it. And then at some point, my landlord was like, we want to repaint these walls. So he let me and took some money off my rent or whatever so I could paint the walls. And I did not realize until I was done how much better it was, certainly, but how much pride I would take in that. Mm. I immediately like started putting things on walls as soon as the walls dried and everything, of course. I waited.
Well, that's good.
I want to brag, but
those movie posters are still in that apartment. Yes,
in fact, they're not moving for anybody.
I hope you like Pulp Fiction. I hope you like Snuggle Your Pet. Maybe this should be number one. It's been shown to help relieve anxiety and depression, and hopefully your pet will enjoy it too. Maybe you don't have a pet. Well, we have our local Humane Society that could always use some volunteers and always use some people over there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have a friend who has a pet. Well, go visit your friend and hang out with them and you know, get some pets in at the same time.
Good stuff.
But
just don't pet your friend.
Yes, I've learned that
unless they say it's okay, right?
Yes, I have apologized to both of you for this.
Always
I have apologized to both of you. I think that we have some like wide range of things here. Mm-hmm. However anybody out there relaxes, everybody's going to have a different method, a different way of doing this. So I think that there's a lot of good notes for anybody out there. Do you guys have any honorable mentions? Do you have?
I think most of the stuff you
really
mentioned
covered a lot of reading. Reading a book is something that I do for relaxation.
I do, me too. Yeah,
I very much enjoy reading.
Yep.
I do that more than I watch shows or television.
You know, this is a personal thing for me, but you know, because I'm such a sound oriented person, any kind of sound thing helps me relax. You know, even if it's a droning podcast, even that, you know, I just fall asleep, maybe take a nap. I don't know, that kind of thing. So, but for me, it's usually involves some kind of sound. So music, the music one really spoke to me. Music spoke to me. Wait a minute.
Nice.
Kind of weird. Anyway.
As Seth faces the music.
I know. I like to face the music.
It speaks to him.
Every Sunday. Six to eight.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm just still a child or if I'm alone on this one or not. But for me, there's plenty of nights where I like to work out before I do. I try to go to because it tires me out. It wears me out. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of energy at night, and sometimes I think it's the only way I'm even going to get close to sleeping and everything is if getting a workout in or something. Basically, what I did with my son, like an hour before we wanted him to go to sleep.
Like, run around.
Hey, you want to do some laps? Let's do some laps. Let's do some running. I am no different, apparently. And I hadn't really thought about it until right this moment. Right. And actually thinking about it, like, nobody else does this?
Why is James running around the house? I don't understand what's going on.
Speaking of childish impulses, I have been wanting to color.
Okay.
It's like a long time. Like, every time I see, I'm like, you know, I wish I could. I have a creative, it's called The Creative Coloring Book. It's like an adult coloring book. Sitting on my shelf right there, and I just, you know, I'd really like to find the time to do that. I don't have the time to do that, but maybe one of these days.
You know, maybe what you need, Melissa, is not the adult. You just need like a kid's one, an easy, you know, big.
Well, this one is not necessarily difficult.
Oh, okay.
It's just got, I mean, they're not, you know, teddy bears. Most of it's flowers.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
It's not necessarily difficult. It's just. Yep.
See, but for me, I'd be intimidated, you know, with all the different, you know, I could color in the different and make different things. I just want to, like, you know, turn Mickey Mouse purple or something like that. Yeah.
So Seth can download a coloring app on his phone for toddlers.
That's right.
And he will have fun with
that's
that.
That's about as sophisticated as I'm going to get.
I was going to bring this up with Phil the other week. With of course, our friends at Quality Plus have the Gift of Giving coming up. They have their kids' coloring books. Make sure to let us know if you don't get one or you want to get one or how to get one. We'll be telling you how to do that. And a big shout out to them for it. I think, you know, with the success of that, maybe having an adult one.
Maybe we should do that. Do two. Yeah.
It is my sister's. Like, if she has 5 seconds to unwind, that's what she's doing, is coloring. Mm-hmm. It really works for her. It really eases her mind and everything.
Hey, Melissa, I know you do a lot of, you know, like handicrafts, you know, like with, like, I don't know if you crochet,
fiber arts.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Is that relaxing to you or
it
not?
It is, but right now I don't have the mental capacity to do it. Honestly, right now, everything, when I am able to sit down and do nothing, I also have to be doing something with my hands because I am so heat up and anxious all the time.
Gotcha.
Like, as I'm sitting here talking to you guys, I'm doing a pop-it with my hands because I have to be constantly.
Gotcha.
If I sit down and I try to read a book, I have to have something in my hand to fidget.
Hmm.
When I'm I don't even have the mental capacity to watch something on television.
I feel
for
you.
I can read better than I can watch something.
That makes sense,
actually. It's not engaging.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can relate to that.
Yeah. And I'm reading a lot of like, I don't want to say fluff, but they're not, they don't require a whole lot of actual, you know, depth.
Brain power. Just shut it down. Yeah. Right.
I've gotten really good at twirling pens. That's something I do. I tend to do that one quite a bit. We will, however you relax, make plans to find a way to relax and be good to yourself.
Yes, please.
We will take a time out. We'll come back. And we got this new trend parents are doing that we got to talk about.
Oh, dear.
That's coming up, along with some great Veterans Day conversation and plenty more on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX Morning Show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
It is going to be a little breezy this morning, but the wind will die down by later this afternoon. Mostly sunny. We'll get to the mid to upper 40s for a high today. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 40s to near 50. Rain possible tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I go and stay.
We hope the day has been treating you good. Thanks so much for kicking off your work week with us, everybody. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Good things coming up. We'll get into our schedule in a little bit. And we're going to talk, John, this trend that parents are doing on Friday's show when Melissa and Seth and I get back together.
Okay.
We'll dive into it then. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. But I wanted to wrap up this Veterans Day with some good stories of the day and get into our schedule in a moment here. But I want to encourage everybody to go to woundedwarriorproject.org. WoundedWarriorProject.org. Not only a wonderful website with a lot of inspiring stories and great information, but also ways for you to get involved in how you can help our wounded warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible one, and there are some incredible stories there, like Melissa McMahon. In Afghanistan, Melissa cared for the injured while her hospital was fired upon by enemy rockets, leaving her with physical injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
Her story is amazing and how she has taken the ball and ran with it.
Wow.
There is Ray Anadalio, who was born in the Philippines, but Ray loved the country that sheltered his family. While in the Navy, he was sent to Iraq, where his training was put into the ultimate test.
Mm.
His story is quite fascinating, quite amazing. There are countless amounts of stories on here. Cannot encourage you enough to check them out. Every single one of them not only would make an incredible movie or TV show or anything like that,
right,
but they are integral to the tapestry of our lives, of our country.
Yeah. You know it.
We don't have a country without these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important. And there's so many good ones out there. There is also Miki Adedici, an Air Force veteran who completed the Hiring Our Heroes Corporate Fellowship. He completed that, went on to interview for a job at Booz Allen Hamilton. Adedici now helps other veterans find employment through Booz Allen.
Oh, wow. Cool.
This is something we touched on before about our veterans and finding work after being, you know, serving, and how we need to get better about that. Dennis Bacon, a retired colonel who served in the Air Force for almost 30 years. Bacon told her children about her military career and how it mirrored her father's, and she would go on to kind of share this story, and her children would go on to tell these stories and incorporate them into their lives and have gone on to tell these stories in TV and movies and such.
Wow.
Dean Quigley and Bernie Smith, World War II and Vietnam veterans who volunteered at the USO. Quigley makes sure that the hot dog bar has the right condiments, and Smith provides care packages and postcards to traveling service members throughout the world.
Oh, that's how cool is that?
That's nice.
That's nice.
Ken Whitford, a Marine Corps veteran who participated in the VA's My Life, My Story project. Whitford found the project to be therapeutic and a way to share his personal feelings. There's a lot of great stories
Very
out there.
Very nice, yes.
You can go to ORWFoundation.org, ORWFoundation.org, to find other inspirational stories.
Very cool. Good stuff.
And there are some great quotes out there. True patriotism springs from a belief in the dignity of the individual, freedom, and equality, not only for Americans, but for all people on Earth.
Mm.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
Very nice.
Said this while honoring our veterans.
Wow.
There are some other good ones out there, too. I will wrap up this show with one of them.
Okay.
But I do want to get to, of course, our schedule and some other good stories. And our schedule is locked in and set for you today, everybody. Stick around. Coming up in minutes from now is Matt Nair on Air.
Mm-hmm.
Join Jane and Greg for that show. They got some wonderful guests, not only today, but throughout the week lined up for you. You're not only going to laugh, but you'll be informed.
Yep. 100%.
Be sure to stick around for that. And a little bit later today, we've got a great one lined up for you as we kick off the week of Midday Magazine from 4 to 5 with Lisa. And Lisa's going to be joining us along with Tammy from Aspirus to talk about Lights of Love.
Yay! Hey. Lights of Love coming out.
It's that time of year again, everybody, mm-hmm. where we're going to be talking about Lights of Love, and we're going to be telling you not only how you could be a part of the event and show up to the event, but how you yourself could get a light to put on that tree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. One of my favorite events. Events we do every year. Looking yep. forward to talking mm-hmm. about this one. And part two, another great event. The Zora Shriners are going to join us for their Festival of Trees 2024. Ken is going to be with us.
Wonderful.
Last year was the first year they did it. My family and I participated in that. Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait to do it again. It's a great cause, too.
Looking mm-hmm. forward to
it. And it's warm because you're inside.
Yes.
We'll have Ken and Chris joining us. Looking forward to that to talk about it. That should be a good one. And, of course, we got Playmakers today from 5 to 6. Be sure to join us for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Paul going to be sitting in with
Yay,
us.
Randy! Hey,
was waiting to confirm. Randy was able to let me know just minutes ago that he will be with us.
Nice.
It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
We've got some great events going on. Today, the Veterans Day ceremony happening at Veterans Park at 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to attend that if yep. you're able to, everybody. A little bit later today at 1 o'clock over at Assumption High School, Legacy Stone dedication is going to be taking place.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good.
And a quick note to our surrounding areas. Tomorrow, Auburndale Coffee with Vets will be happening at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Also tomorrow, Morning Joe and Doe in Stevens Point at the yes. Elks Lodge over there.
Yep.
Awesome. The wonderfully named Morning Joe and
great
Doe.
Name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, right here in town, we have American Heroes Cafe happening over at Crossview Church at 7:30 a.m. Keep that in mind, everybody. Mm-hmm. Along with the Veterans Benefit Boot Camp happening over at Midstate at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. Again, this is designed to help our veterans find work in the workforce yep. When they come home.
That's right.
And the flag folding and honors rendering training will be happening in the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs and the Military Funeral Honors Program that is happening this Friday, Friday, December 13th, mm-hmm. 11 to 1 over at the VFW Post 2534. Just wanted to note that to people that is
little
coming up.
A little heads up for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, heads up on that one.
Yep. That one.
Seth, you had some stuff too.
Well, we have a very cool opportunity also coming up on Wednesday in recognition of Veterans Day. The EAA Chapter 706 in Wisconsin Rapids is hosting a screening of Honor in the Air, the story of decorated Vietnam helicopter pilot and Wisconsin native Scott Alwyn. That's going to be at 7 p.m. and it's going to be at the Alexander Hangar, Alexander Field Hangar. It is free. It is open to the public. The documentary itself is 58 minutes long and it will be followed by a question and answer period with the producer and members of Alwyn's family. So that's very cool.
7 p.m. today?
7 p.m. on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
There's also going to be artifacts from his service that will be on display. So that's going to be a very cool event all the way around. And like I said, it's free and open to the public. It will be in the large community hangar at the airport at Alexander Field.
Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Yep.
A mom in Texas named Elise reclaimed the world record for the largest donation of breast milk by an individual.
Whoa.
She originally broke the record in 2014 after donating more than 400 gallons.
What?
Another woman passed her now, and she's got it back after running her total up to 700 gallons.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
She says her actual total is closer to 1,000, but around 300 gallons she donated a while back didn't count. Officials say she has helped feed over 350,000 babies.
Wow.
My goodness gracious. Amazing.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
A couple in Utah named Jenna and Mitchell Brothenson are in the news after telling their story of how they got together. They were dating back in 2020 when Jenna broke up with him, but then Mitchell suffered a serious concussion while out skiing and didn't remember the breakup. He thought they were still dating. One thing led to another, and she decided maybe dumping him was the wrong call anyway, so they stayed together and got married 6 months later.
Oh, my gosh. Who's writing this script?
Yeah. They just celebrated their fourth anniversary. Hallmark is
they want their story Hallmark. So bad.
Yeah. They would not leave them alone. They just keep every day calling up, hey, if you change your mind.
Are you ready? You ready to sell your story? We want to sell your story.
Look, we have been waiting our whole life. We built a whole station. We built a card company for this story.
And hey, can I jump in quick and say, you know, today is actually fortuitous that Community Stories is launching tomorrow because you'll get to hear local veteran stories.
Absolutely.
From 5 to 6 tomorrow during Community Stories when the show launches.
Premieres. It's premiering tomorrow.
I swear to everybody, I had that lined up right here. God, that was great. Yes, check out Community Stories. Get ready for it, everybody. It premieres tomorrow.
Yes. Very excited.
It kicks off tomorrow. And on Thursdays, it'll be Community Stories Junior.
Yep.
We are so excited about this. Melissa's worked so hard on this story, this show. Great job, Melissa. Yes. We cannot wait for that. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you in the morning. It's going to be fun. And be sure to make time to get ready for that one, everybody. One last quote before we leave. This will remain the land of the free, so long as it is the home of the brave. Elmer Davies.
All right.
Have a good Veterans Day, everybody. Great show, you two.
You too, man.
Yep.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later, right?